Good evening. Had a wonderful day today. Had a nice sized crowd here today, number of visitors. We're very, very blessed here at South Valley. We're going to look, if you want to follow along, we'll be in Philippians, the fourth chapter. Ever hear of that chapter, Dick?
Yeah,
We've worn that one out. There's lots more in it. We're going to look at a few verses in Philippians chapter 4. Paul starts out and he says, "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved." This verse has so many components here. He calls them beloved twice. This was a congregation that was dearly close to Paul. They loved him. He loved them. They helped him in his missionary work a number of times. And being a part, it says not only beloved, but longed for. You know, not just I miss you, it'd be nice to see. He longs for them. And he calls them my joy and crown. They were a reflection of his work. And what joy we have when maybe we teach our children or we teach somebody and they grow and mature in Christ, in the church. And in some ways, it reflects back on the people that had contributed to that growth. Very rarely does a person mature in a vacuum. You know, it takes a lot of people. A lot of people contribute to your maturing, good and bad. You know, even the negative events in our life, the negative people in our life, we can grow from. And that's outlook. That's attitude. How you view the situation. Instead of being bitter, how can I grow from it? Even if you say to yourself, I never want to be like that person. And that might inspire you not to. But here, Paul refers to them as my joy and my crown. During this period of time, and even still today, you know, athletes will get a medal or a trophy. You know, we've got a young lady back here that's doing very good in flag football. They mop people up and they get trophies and they're rewarded for performance. Well, back then, in athletics or even royalty, they are crowned. In athletics, it was a sign of victory. And that's what Paul, you're my joy and you're my crown. You're the result of my efforts. Not his only, but I take pride in how you are today. And he says, he started out, therefore, which all the things he's talked about in the first, second, and third chapter. He starts the fourth chapter. Therefore, and he goes into this and he says, stand fast. Stand fast in the Lord. And that stand fast is a military term. It is a term, you don't give up your ground. You don't retreat. You stand firm against an enemy. It doesn't say if you're outnumbered. It doesn't say under certain circumstances, then you can. No, you stand fast regardless of the situation. And what do we stand firm in? We stand firm on doctrine. We stand firm in our conduct. Those are the things that we stand firm with. Everything else, we've got a lot of liberty in. We've got a lot of liberty on the color of carpet we choose as a congregation, or on what color to paint the walls. We got a lot of liberty in that. But doctrine, it's cut and dried. We stand firm in that. We don't retreat. We don't apologize. And our conduct. Our conduct is set for us. Our conduct is set by the gospel. We don't have to make decisions. Well, what do I do in this? We make our decision to follow Christ. And 99, probably 100% of the time, our decision is already made on how to conduct ourselves in life. In verse 2, we get into some personal issues. The stand firm, those are non-negotiable. It's for everybody. Now we're getting into some personal stuff. He says, I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Obviously, Euodia and Syntyche had a difference. And Paul's saying, put it away. He's saying it nice. Saying it nice. Don't make me tell you again. That's the way Paul taught. Tracy and I were talking earlier today. Paul had, he could put kid gloves on if need be, or he could come with a sledgehammer and spank you. And he did that sometimes. He's starting out nice. You two, stop it. Whatever it is, stop. And also, I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel. He's praising them. You guys labored with me. You've put time and effort in. I know your capabilities. Put your personal stuff aside. Put your personal baggage in the closet. Get rid of it. And he mentioned, he commends Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers. You know what? Even there's three people named. I'd consider it an honor to just be considered one of Paul's fellow workers, to go unnamed, uncredited. You see, you look up movies that International Movie Database, I think it's called. You know, it lists all the people in a movie. Some of them, it says uncredited, that they didn't get listed in the credits. They were still in the movie. I would be honored to have been one of Paul's fellow workers. A gopher. I need you to do this. Okay. You know, there's people that stand out, are named. And then there's, and the rest of my fellow workers. Most importantly, they are credited in the book of life. They don't go unnoticed. It's nice to be validated. It's nice to get a pat on the back. But when we don't, our names are in the book of life. As a Christian, as a baptized believer, our names are in the book of life. We were talking today in Sunday morning Bible class about in Matthew 7, judge not so you don't get judged. We were talking about it's not our place. We don't have the role of being. God hasn't given us an eraser for the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, we don't get to make the decision that you're not in it or you are in it. We can just go by, you know, what God has told us to do. And sometimes we as people, we bite off a little bit more than we can chew, and we think that we're the judge of that. That it's not us that's putting them in. The Lord added, and we don't have the right to take the eraser and take them out of that book or cross their name out. God does that. And these unmentioned fellow workers are recognized in the book of life. Goes on to say in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Paul does not say rejoice when things are going your way. That's easy to do. Paul was writing this from a Roman prison. Paul wrote this while under guard. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Not just when it's easy. Not when things are going smooth sailing. Or if it's not too hard. Always, rejoice in the Lord, always. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. It's not always easy to let our gentleness be known. I'm sure at that time, They had their issues. We've got our issues. It all boils down to life's tough. We run into people that I'd say I want to pull my hair out, but we run into people that are sometimes tough in the world to deal with. A coworker, a neighbor that is just sour. They're sour on life. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And that reminded me of a verse that we covered earlier in our Sunday morning class, Matthew 5:16, where Jesus says, let your light shine before men that you may show your good works. And Jesus and Paul doesn't put conditions on. Let your light shine when things are going good for you. Let your light shine when everything falls into place. When people are nice to you, let your light shine. Paul doesn't say, let your gentleness be known to all men. Gentleness is not weakness. You know, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount talks about meekness. Meekness is power under control. And you can be gentle and still be strong and not a cupcake, not a pushover. Paul was. Paul knew when to be gentle and when to unload. And luckily, he always did it, you know, he did it right. We can look at Paul's teaching and learn an awful lot about that. And then verse 6, and I'm pretty sure 2 weeks ago, Dick, I think you used this verse in Dick's lesson a few weeks ago. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. I love Paul. He tells us something and then tells us either why or how to do it. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Go to God in prayer. That's one of the spiritual blessings that we have. Today, our morning lesson was Ephesians 1:3, about that God has given us every spiritual blessing. One of those blessings is prayer. Paul is telling us we can put our anxiety away. Pray. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How do you explain to somebody that doesn't have it the peace of God? They have no reference for that. When we have that, when we have that peace, and again, remember, peace is not the absence of war. Peace is not the absence of chaos. Peace is peace in the midst of it. We can be in the eye of the storm and still have peace. How do you explain that to somebody that doesn't have it? You can teach somebody that there is, and then someday when they get it, it may click back to them. But Paul even explains, it surpasses all understanding. That this peace of God, and it will guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. We're going to end there tonight, little early. I got a little long-winded today. Took about 10 minutes, a little longer. So we're ending a little earlier tonight. We will pick up and do the rest of the chapter. I can't remember the date, but in December when I speak, we will end up the rest of Philippians. We started looking at Philippians a few months ago every time that I had the opportunity to speak to you on Sunday nights. We started looking at the book of Philippians. Wonderful book. It would take you 10 minutes. 10 minutes to read. And it would be so rewarding to take some time and to just read the 4 chapters. You'd be blessed. Anyway, if you need to respond to the invitation, through prayer, repentance, baptism, anything that we can do for you. Please come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation song, and we will address your needs. Let's stand and sing.